Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, welcome to this third Sunday in Advent, where we come to realize, or I hope that you are well aware, that it's less than 2 weeks until Christmas Day and the wonderful celebration of Christmas here in our church. And we are ready here at St. John's, which is absolutely wonderful to have as many people in the church as possible for the first time, can you believe it, in 2 years, anybody be able to come to any and all of the services, which is just wonderful. You'll see the advertising boards are out the front stopping traffic on Plendon Road and Turek Road. The trees are up, the wreaths are up, the church is dressed in purple for Advent, as are your clergy, and there is a sense of building excitement for Christmas. Last Sunday afternoon, many of us were treated to a wonderful service of lessons and carols here in the church. We think there are about 400 people here, which was fantastic. And amidst all of the celebrations and the singing and the compliments of the choir, this person came up to me and said, "Why haven't you decorated the rest of the wreaths and the trees? Did you run out of time?" And I said, "No," I said, "it's actually deliberate that we keep the wreaths and the trees and it's just sort of not quite decorated, you know, for Christmas. We like to have a sense of preparation, a sense of waiting for this time to come." Well, she wasn't very happy with that answer. She said, "Well, it's a real shame, actually, because I'm going to Portsea next week, and I was really hoping to see all the Christmas decorations up here in the church before I went." And I laughed, and I said to her, "Look, I'm terribly sorry, but we're not David Jones." And there's this weird sort of sense, isn't there, like of being in Advent in sort of a commercial world where everything is sort of Christmas now, right? Whereas in the church, we're sort of waiting for Christmas, we're preparing for Christmas. And so it's also jarring, I think, when we read this reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning, the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke, which is our gospel for this year. So we're reading all the way through Luke, from Advent to Advent. And it's this strange sort of reading, right? Here is the third Sunday of Advent. We're meant to be looking forward to Christmas. And what is the first thing that we hear the wonderful John the Baptist say to the crowds who are coming out to be baptized? "You brood of vipers." Right? What an extraordinary thing to say. And he goes on, he continues this great exhortation. "The axe is lying at the root of the trees." Good Lord. It's hardly sort of welcome to the Jordan River for baptism today. Lovely to see you all here. Particular welcome to newcomers. Delighted that your friends and your family are here for this baptism. Please do have a seat and come up when your name is called. "You brood of vipers." So what's going on here? Why would we as the church have this reading set for the third Sunday of Advent? Well, I think we need to sort of unpack what's going on here. So word of John the Baptist has spread in the region. Luke records that crowds are going out to hear this prophet speak. And there's some connection between what the prophet is saying and doing and the imminent arrival of the Messiah, the promised one of God. And so people are going out to him to be baptized, but we're not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure. They're actually going out there for the right reason. They're actually going out there a little bit to sort of hedge their bets, frankly, which is why John is so angry. So there are two sort of congregations or two audiences encountering John the Baptist in the Jordan River. There are faithful Jewish people who are hearing that John the Baptist is a prophet. He's doing this baptism in preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. And then there's the Gentiles, that is non-Jewish people, who are hearing the same thing, and they're also going out into the desert to be baptized. But some are basically going out there to get baptized just in case the Messiah actually comes and therefore they've got a passport to heaven. They're hedging their bets. This is not the most honourable of reasons to come out and be baptised. And this annoys John. John knows what's going on. He knows that not all of these people are coming out to him for the right reasons. And we see this sort of, you know, in our own, the life of the church and in the life of our own community too. I'm sure you all know people who sort of think, well, look, I'll have the children baptized kind of just in case all of this is true, right? I see a little bit here at St. John's. Well, you know, we don't come to church, but I think I better have the kids christened because, you know, well, it's one Sunday out of the year, you know, big deal. We'll sort of get, you know, Harry done. And there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of hedging the bets sort of going on there. A little bit like you sort of coming to church every now and again, you sort of think, well, you know, all I have to do to be a Christian is to come to church sort of once or have my kids baptized once and that's it. Which, of course, for the practicing Christian, we know that's not really the life of a Christian. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Let's get back to baptism. I know a priest in the diocese who he's in his 70s, and every year on the anniversary of his baptism, he has a celebratory lunch with his friends. He said baptism was entry into the kingdom of God. It was so important to him that he has a celebratory lunch on the anniversary of his baptism every year. And believe it or not, he lights the little candle that was given to his mum and dad when he was baptised at, you know, 9 weeks old. He lights the baptismal candle. He's kept it all this time. He lights it, puts it in the middle of the table. And the candle is a man in his 70s. The candle is about yay high now, because he's been burning it, you know, every year for a little bit for more than 70 years. He speaks of the great importance of baptism. So I want to say today that in Advent, I think it is very helpful for us to think about our baptism and the promises that we make at baptism. John is recognizing that people are coming out to him, maybe not for some great reasons, but this baptism that he offers regardless has to have some effect, right? This isn't just sort of something you go and do and that's the beginning and the end of it. And he describes to people what people must do in response to this baptism. So he tells soldiers, and there would have been professional soldiers there, which is, you know, an extraordinary sort of life. There would have been conscripted soldiers there. How are they to act? Well, they are to act with mercy and with justice in their role. Luke says even tax collectors were there. And I was joking with a member of the 8 o'clock congregation this morning who's a tax accountant. I said, did you notice you got a mention in the gospel reading this morning? He said, yes, even the tax collectors were there. You know, sort of like the bottom of the pile and then there's the tax collectors. The tax collectors were there and they were not well liked because they used to extort people. And John says to them, well, if you're a tax collector, what you must do in the light of baptism is don't extort people, be fair in your dealings, take only what is owed, and that is that. Then he says more generally to the people coming to be baptized, if you have two coats, give one of them to someone who has none. If you have more food than you need, feed someone who needs feeding. In other words, be generous people, be generous of heart, give. And there is, in this sense, a very lovely message there from John the Baptist, that the sort of the secret to the Christian life is to be generous of heart, is to be honest, is to be merciful, is to be a just person, is to share in response to the gift of baptism. I have a baptism at midday today here in the church, just one family coming, and it'll be lovely to celebrate with them. And I'm hoping that they do get a sense that baptism is something that the benefits of which flow through life and they call us to a commitment right throughout our life rather than a once-off. Baptism is a call to a living relationship with God. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by what's a living relationship with God? Well, I think as with any relationship, and we noticed this during COVID, I think, because we had to make special intentions to be with people and communicate with people and maintain our relationships in new ways. A living relationship with God is a very simple one. It's being a prayerful person. And when I say being a prayerful person, I don't mean just coming to church on Sunday mornings, clasping your head, your hands together and praying to God, as good and as important as that is. But living a life where we're actually so thankful to God in every moment of the day and praying to God in every moment of the day, that sort of life becomes a prayer. I don't mean that in a pious way, but I mean like those of you who are gardeners, being out in the garden and saying, thank God for the sun on my back. Thank God for the growth of these azaleas. And I pray to God that you can help me grow these roses. You know, it's just in the everyday. A friend of mine said that whenever you, who's a monk, because I have friends who are monks, said, whenever you wash up, give thanks to God for the bubbles. Isn't that lovely? Whenever you wash up, give thanks to God for the bubbles. Because, of course, you know, you wouldn't be soapy otherwise, and you wouldn't get things clean. But in the little things in life, in that those daily instances in life, give thanks to God. And when we're thanking God, we're in relationship with God. It's a living relationship. It's like talking with your partner or your friend. It's a living relationship. So this is why John is so angry this morning. Because what's happening is you've got these people who've reduced the Christian life, the life of being just, of being merciful, of being loving, of being kind, of being in a living relationship with God. These people have reduced it into this sort of little sort of formula where if you come out and just get baptized and go back to whatever it is that you were doing, that is living the Christian life. Well, that, of course, is not what you and I are called to do. So let me just end by encouraging you in this time of Advent when everywhere else it's Christmas, to take the time to think about who it is that you're called to be as a baptized person of God, to be a merciful person, a just person, a loving person, and make that life with God a living relationship. I thank God every day. I pray to God for those on your hearts and minds every day. Because there's this lovely expectation of what God will do in our life when we do that. Just as much as in a few days' time now, we look forward to what God will do in the world in Christ our Saviour. Amen.